Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. Roll call, first item, let the record show that all the directors are present. And can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Right, the agenda is approved. And let's start with public comments. And it's the same thing as for anybody that's new on here. You have to raise your hand. I don't see anybody calling in. I do see a couple people on the phone, actually. If you're on the phone and you have a public comment, you can just hit star 6. And I'll see that your hand is raised, and I'll unmute you. So, well, we'll give it just a minute because it's a little new maybe for some people still. No? Okay. I don't see any public comments. You'll have a chance later on if you didn't get it. All right. Let's start with you, Sergeant, on agency reports.
Okay. Once again, this is Sergeant Robert Picari, and I'm assigned here at the Phelan Station with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Last month, in the community of Brightwood, we had 146 calls for service, which is slightly up from our previous month. It was more similar to what we normally experience during snowplays, and we had a total of 4 reports that were taken. Your high call volume in Brightwood were extra patrols at 29, 911 follow-ups at 13, vehicle checks at 12, incidents at 12, which are non-crime-related calls, and, I'm sorry, 12 vehicle checks, 10 incidents, and 9 welfare checks. Those were your top 5 high call volume. For the reports that were taken in Brightwood, we had 1 vehicle theft. We have 1 arrest made for a domestic violence restraining order. We have 1 crisis report related to a 5150 evaluation and 1 warrant arrest. And that was your crime stats for Brightwood.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anybody have any questions? No?
Nope.
Okay.
This is my last month as the Phelan Watch Commander. You'll have a new Watch Commander starting Monday. His name is Sergeant Paul Solario, and I'm going to have him, hopefully this will all be passed with the coronavirus, and you guys will be back to normal meetings next month, and I'm going to try to come up and do 1 more meeting next month and introduce him like we've done in the past.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming to all the meetings, by the way. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. You guys have a good night.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Bye. Okay, next calendar. Did somebody review the... Okay.
The minutes.
Did somebody review the minutes? I'm sorry, what's that?
The minutes need 1 correction to all 3 minutes. I accidentally put Tammy as absent. She was online during those meetings, and I goofed up.
Okay. Chuck, did you get a chance to review them?
Yeah, I did. I had a couple questions. They look fine, but I had a couple questions, but I'll wait until the GM reports.
Okay. But just the accuracy of the minutes.
The accuracy looks okay.
Okay. Can we
all 3.
Yeah, but we need to make that change that Lori suggested. But other than that, can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
So moved.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, consent calendar carries. Item 6 is the general manager's report.
Okay, several projects have wrapped up this month. The community building roof was fixed, and the parking lot was restriped only in the loading slash handicap and handicap areas. Dump carts are ready to mail, and they will be sent out the week of May 18th. Davidson Electric has taken over the SCE panel project. They've ordered the panel, and delivery is about 2 weeks out. The reason we switched is because the original vendor kept increasing his price.
Right.
We made the final payment on the skate park loan. Campbell Appliance is working on getting the deep fryer operational, and thank you, Leo, for that, sending them over. And then I am looking for bios on the board members. I've got one on Chuck, but I don't have a biography on anybody else, and I need that for the packet for Grant.
Do you know what happened to the bios we all wrote that
no.
were originally on, I thought, the website?
It was, they were on the website, and then all of a sudden they just disappeared, and I don't know why.
I can probably dig them all up. I was involved in receiving them all and putting them on Facebook originally, so I could probably find all those old bios, unless you want to do an updated one that was, like, from 2017.
No, I think those should be good. I mean, the major accomplishments should be there, so.
You know, Natalie, it's probably on the Wrightwood Forum because I think we all used our bios that we posted for the election. And
yeah.
Those were all posted on the forum, I thought.
I think they'd be there, and they'd be on my email, and they'd also be on the Facebook page with some digging. You should probably find them on Facebook.
I will look on Facebook to see if I can find them.
Okay. And I'll email Lori and see if I have everyone.
Okay. That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. The skate park's going along being paid off. That's awesome. That's incredible. That's great.
Yes, it is. That was, what, 25 or 35,000?
27.
Yeah.
And we also got an update from Susan Drake's office in regards to the Lone Pine Canyon at Sheep Creek Wash. And I put the information in the packet, but basically they're talking about the project that they're going to start. And they've also got paving for most of Wrightwood on the schedule for this year.
That's awesome. Okay. That's great. I don't see Susan here. Unless she's calling in, it could be. Susan, if you're there, if you're there by phone, could you hit star 6? If you're not, okay. All right. Might not be there.
Speaking of the dump cards, just a reminder that those resolutions need to get to the counties. LA County and San Bernardino County, so that they can get on the tax roll.
Are those who's doing that? Are you doing that, Lori?
I thought it was Steve and I, but I can do it.
Yeah.
No, what I did was the election resolution.
Okay.
Those have been submitted to both the LA County and the San Bernardino County, but historically the solid waste management disposal fee resolutions have been handled by staff along with the board president. You know, that needs to get onto the tax rolls and all of the stuff that is necessary for that, all of the computer stuff.
Yeah, I do have an email from the LA County Registrar about putting stuff on the rolls that I just got. So,
Are we talking about, Steve, are we talking about the resolution? I think that resolution for L.A. County, I just uploaded to the site.
I don't, the board adopted those resolutions at your last meeting.
Yeah.
Regular meeting. And so it's just a matter of getting that information over to the controller's office. I think they're the ones that manage that.
I think we just emailed it over to them, the fire call. So we just simply email them over the resolution and we do everything online.
Wasn't there something that you had to, if I recall, where you had each of the assessor's parcel numbers, and then you had to load something onto the onto that?
Oh, yeah, it's a whole list of that.
Right.
Yeah, it's all the parcel numbers.
Right.
Just everything, yeah. So it's a whole list of stuff. I can look back at my email and see what we did, but we better get that handled. I think we have a little bit of time because L.A. County, for example, they're not even ready yet. Like, you have to load it up to their site when they're ready, get all the documents cleared. It's a whole process.
Yeah, and that's sort of I think the deadline's August 10th.
Yeah.
The trickiness of it is that you issue your dump cards based upon those assessments.
Yeah.
Before you actually, you know, put it off to the tax rolls.
Right.
Or just a reminder that so that doesn't fall in between the cracks.
I'm glad you did. Okay. I'm glad you did. Because I always have to kind of review everything from last year. It's so much stuff to get it in the right order. So I'm glad you did. Lori, could you, we really should document this procedure, and staff should really do it from year to year.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So we really should document this whole procedure because it's different for LA County from San Bernardino County, completely different process. It's not hard. It just takes time to go through it.
Yeah, I know. Right after I started, we sent those files over to San Bernardino and LA County. So that was late July, early August. But yeah, I'll get on that and get information on what we need to do and make it a standard procedure.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Item 7, April 2020 financials.
I just got a couple questions for Lori. That's okay now. Yeah.
Sure. I moved too fast. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Lori, on the parking lot striping,
yes.
How much did that cost? Because in the minutes, what we talked about is it was on the agenda last month. We said, well, we'll put it off until this, you know, meeting May 5th because the quotes and, you know, the board wasn't ready to do it. But it's not on our agenda now. So I don't know what we...
That's because I found the striping machine Natalie was talking about.
Right, I understand that.
So the parking lot striping cost us about $60 to $70 for paint.
Nice job, Natalie.
Okay. that's fine, but are we going to be doing the entire parking lot, or is that off the table now, or what?
If you want to do the entire parking lot, I can do that. It's going to take a lot of paint, but other than that, it just takes time.
And it's a lot easier than... Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Michelle.
I was just going to say, no matter how much paint it takes, it's still going to be a lot cheaper than anybody we would hire to do it, right?
That's true. However, just on the just to play devil's advocate, I just want to let you know, if any of you have gone to see those lines, they're not perfect. They're good enough, but not great.
I saw them, and I, you know, they're definitely, they're not, you know, professional, but I thought they were good enough, so thank you for doing. Yeah, and they look like the ones that, I thought Al had somebody else doing it with him last time, and it looks like the ones Al did.
Okay. So long as everybody's happy with them, I don't have a problem. I'll order some more paint from Amazon, and I'll do the rest of the white lines.
Okay.
Thanks, Kevin.
So financials look blank on my document here.
I had one question about the financials. We had a donation of $1,500.
Yes. That is, the donation is to go for the SPE panel. That's the donation.
Who is that? Who's that from?
Well, it all came from the Chamber of Commerce because they took everything that they received and then wrote us a check for $1,500.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're supposed to donate $3,000. What happened?
Well, they already sent over $500.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So they're at $2,000 now?
$2,000. Yeah. So I don't know.
Did we get the UIA's 1,000?
that came from the chamber. That was a thousand of the of what that's why he paid the chamber $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't know who paid the chamber. The chamber just gave me a check for $1,500.
Okay. Well, $1,000 was supposed to come from Countrywide, or what's the real estate?
Countrywide.
Yeah, there was $1,000 from them. There was $500 from Wrightwood Inn, Leo. And I'm not sure where the other $500 came from. That was the $3,000. Wes, the Countrywide, and $500 from Leo. So there's $2,500 right there. I don't know if the second $500.
The Wrightwood Inn has not paid yet.
But we've only gotten $2,000 of that, right?
Correct.
Sounds like.
Correct.
All right. Do we
expect $2,000?
We are going to find out. I will, Tammy is in touch with the chamber and she is going to let me know what the status they have on that.
All right.
On the April financials, Lori, it's 5150-5. There's a repairs and maintenance for the month of April, 2246.63. What was the breakdown on that for the property repair and maintenance?
Okay, I can't give you the total breakdown because I'm not in QuickBooks, but I can tell you that part of that is the deposit that we paid to Davidson Electric for the SCE panel. Once we make that final payment, that's going to be moved to capital assets.
Davidson Electric. You know what the deposit was for Davidson?
Is
that $1,000?
No, it was like, I want to say $2,000.
Okay, so that's the majority of that 2246.
Correct.
And where is the roof leak repair?
The roofing repair.
Go ahead, Marissa.
The roofing repair was capitalized. It's not showing on these.
Got it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That was the one thing. I have something else for the budget, but that doesn't go now. That's later on in the agenda. All the disbursements looked okay. And the hours, we didn't stop doing the shorter hours until when? April or May?
The board directed the employees to get paid like they would normally. So I didn't calculate the shorter hours. Well, I included the payroll hours.
Okay. When I voted to have the employees get paid, is their normal time. I'm talking about their budgeted hours.
Correct.
Park and office at 80 and. Well, you have the park and recs, but they're not there anymore. But I'm looking, at 80 each month, and yet this last March 20th, Tammy had 105 and John had 91.
Correct.
So I was just wondering about that.
We did not close until the 15th of March.
Okay.
And they're getting paid. They're getting paid just straight 5 hours for 4 days a week, 20 hours. It just how it breaks down via the calendar looks different.
Okay. Well, monthly hours should be 80 until they start working again. And I know that they're working now, but I mean the full 5 days and that type of thing.
Okay, but you don't understand. Even if they had been working, these would be their hours because of how the calendar falls.
So that's their hours for March.
The hours for March? No, there's hours for April as well.
Okay. I don't understand that, but that's what it is. Well, I mean, okay, so the hours you're talking about, Lori, represent what length of time?
April 1st.
What's the beginning date and what's the end date?
April 1st through April 30th.
Okay, well, why did you say that included hours for March also?
Because March, somebody was asking about the March hours, right? So there's March hours and there's April hours. Each are designated into the month that they're in.
But if the financials represent April, right?
Correct.
Then how come their juxtaposition is valid? How come they're not 80 hours? Since everyone was on regular time in the whole entire month of April.
Because there's more than 80 hours in the month of April.
Okay. Okay. There's more than, there's sort of however many working days that is.
Correct. That it's the working days that we're talking about.
Yeah. So there's probably more than, it's like 23 working days or something.
Something okay. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you understand that, Chuck? I mean, I haven't verified it, but that I've run into that before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I mean, we can look in more detail and see. Lori, could you in the month of April, could you send that to Chuck on the number of days that represents for the month of April? Could you do that after this meeting?
Yeah, I'll have to do it tomorrow, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
that just to set his mind at ease there, that we got, you know, that I think it makes sense, right?
Yeah, no problem. In fact, what I'll do is I'll just copy him on the timesheet.
Okay. So, okay, Chuck?
Yeah, if you can get my mind at ease, that would be wonderful, because I'm whacked out, right?
Okay, right. I didn't take a picture brain, I just said, right?
Oh, I was in hope. Come on now.
Okay. All right. Any more questions? Is that it, Chuck?
Those are my questions for April.
Okay. Anybody else?
I have a couple for the 2021 budget, but that's later on.
Okay. All right. All right. No other questions? Any other public comments? Remember, public comments is just a reminder. You can raise your hand. You know, click on the button to raise your hand, or if you're on the phone, hit star 6, raise your hand that way, and we'll unmute you. Okay, item 8, potential expansion of Pride Community Co-op Services, discussion of possible action.
Okay, this was Michelle's request, so okay. I'm turning it over to her.
Oh, okay, great. So I think I mentioned when we first discussed how the co-op and the market at the same time could operate that I might come back to you after we've kind of gotten a couple times under our belt and the things were changing. So we've had 3 successful co-ops with everybody coming in, with everything being controlled and monitored and everybody in masks and gloves and all that kind of thing. What I would like, and so I feel like our members know that process now, everybody's trained, it's been going smoothly, I would really like to add back our 2 vendors. One is Rowena McDermott, she's the woman who's spoken on behalf of our farmers market and runs the Thielen market, and then another woman named Cindy. Anyway, Rowena sells some goods that she prepares in her kitchen and sometimes produce, I think generally it's flowers and like jams and that kind of thing. Cindy sells gluten-free breads that she makes in her county-certified kitchen, all that kind of, like, they're all, you know, above board on that. But I have several members in co-op that come from throughout the tri-community area and sometimes beyond who aren't around for our markets and would really like to have access again to Rowena and Cindy. My proposal is to put them outside, so there will be no increased numbers inside. They would have on gloves and a mask and follow all the same requirements the farmer's market is following. I would probably put one on the porch and for people to interact with as they leave the building, and then I would put another one probably in the loading zone area or something, because that's where we've got people standing in line, the 6 feet apart and everything. Anyway, I would just like to see if I can get your approval to bring back my 2 vendors
and observing all of our social distancing guidelines and everything else we've agreed to.
Right, and it's fine with me. I think it's just fine being outside is deep. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And wearing a mask, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think
I agree.
Yeah, do we actually need a motion for that, Steve?
I don't think so. I don't think I think that's necessary.
I just told you guys I would come back to you before making any changes, and so everything has been pretty calm. And now it seems like the state is kind of loosening their guidelines. I don't want to loosen ours. I'm going to keep everything the same way it is, but I would just like to, add those services back outside.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no problem with it at all. As far as the other market, I can't believe it, but Ron put something on Facebook with, promoting the market and whatever. And one of the vendors didn't have a mask, didn't have gloves. Another vendor didn't have gloves. This was an actual video that he put on the damn site. And I had a couple people tell me about it. I didn't see it, but, there's people out there looking. So I know we sent him a letter, requesting that his vendors follow the rules. And, whether it's true or not, I don't know, Michelle, because I didn't see it personally, but I had people tell me.
Well, when I was there, my son puts out the signs and puts them away every Friday for the market. I took him last Friday for the market, and we put away signs. The vendor that was the one people had remarked about before absolutely had a face mask on. It was a brand.
Oh, yeah. The guy said selling the honey was fine. I think the ones they were talking about was the yogurt or something, because he was promoting it and whatever. And so the one lady had mask and gloves, but the lady standing next to her supposedly had a face mask with no mask and no gloves on. And then supposedly there was another vendor that didn't have gloves, and I don't know which one that was. They didn't say.
Ron reached out Tuesday to double check whether he works on Tuesday nights, whether he needed to be a part of this meeting, and I had him look at the agenda, and I reviewed it again and said, you're not on the agenda. I don't believe anything's coming up. But what I would suggest that we do is ask Ron to put one specific person in charge of monitoring masks and gloves. Because my guess is what's happening is people have them at one point. They get tired of it. If you've worn a mask for more than 3 or 4 hours, you know the feeling. You get tired of it, pull it down. So, but he's got so many things to monitor there. Perhaps if he could have one person, that was their job. Because when I've been there, when I was there Friday, I didn't see any vendor who didn't have them on. I wasn't looking for the yogurt, grape, whatever, but I definitely did not see any violations.
And let's consider also that sometimes people can be mistaken. They think that person is a vendor. They're not. It could just be a mistake also.
I'm not trying to make a big thing about it. I'm just letting you know what people have called me to tell me about.
Yeah.
And it was supposedly Ron on the camera. That's what surprised me, that he could see it on the camera. And, we got people following the mayor of New York to get on his case, too. So, I'm not trying to cause him any trouble or whatever. It looked like the majority of the people on his video, had the mask and gloves.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to do anything about it right now. I just wanted Michelle to be aware of it.
I'm in conversation with Ron, so I'll pass it on and see if there's anything. I know he's doing his best, because I was putting away signs and he was reminding me, hey, you got to have your mask on. So, he's definitely aware and on it. But I'll talk to him about that again and see if maybe they can do a little extra patrol or something.
Okay.
It would be great if all of our community members who noticed this stuff would say something. Like,
they can just take a picture and send that, right?
Yeah, or go find Ron at the market. Like, let's see if we can solve this right now to reduce the risk, not talk about after the fact.
And Ron would do it. He would go over there and say, hey, you gotta wear your mask.
Yeah, absolutely. He would.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, so yeah, to anybody, I would encourage all of you, if you hear any, you know, feedback or complaints about it, encourage them if it's at the market to go speak to Ron right then. Because I think Ron would be very receptive and accommodating him.
Right. Yeah, and he wants to do the right thing. So.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, were there, no, am I good to
invite
those two vendors back?
Yeah, you're sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay.
All right. That's it for that line item.
Any public comments on this issue? Wait just a minute here, okay? Okay, don't see anything yet. All right. Okay, next item of business is number 9, last vote ballot. Now, there's two people on the ballot for the last vote. There's Kimberly Cox and T. Milford Harrison. So what I'd like to do is go to each board member and get a yay or nay on, you know, for the record of who they would vote for to be on LAFTA. So let's start with you, Chuck.
Kim.
Kimberly Cox, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Lori, can you record this and make sure it gets on
the
paperwork?
The ballot.
I think you could probably just do a regular motion and second and vote on it.
Is that right? Okay, that'd be faster.
Yeah,
because I think they break it down by that. Okay, all those in let's hear it for Kimberly Cox. Any all those in favor of Kimberly Cox, say aye.
All right.
Aye.
So I assume Chuck made the motion. Who seconded it?
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, how do we do this? Because we're supposed to pick each person, right? Well, aren't we supposed to go over each person, Steve?
If you were to nominate someone for a officer position on the board, yes, but this is for LAFCO, and they have their own ballot. So it's just a matter of doing a regular motion and a second and the vote, and then that gets plugged into this ballot.
But don't we have to vote for either Kimberly or Kimo for Harrison?
Yeah, but you can do it the regular way that you would do a motion in a second.
Okay, all right.
I move that we nominate Kimberly Cox for the last position.
Okay, all right. Can I have a motion to vote Kimberly Cox into last vote?
So move.
So move.
Speech. Can I have a second?
I don't know who got that one, but if Chuck got it, I second it. Okay. I'm good.
All those in favor of Kimberly Cox, all those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Kimberly Cox is, by unanimous decision, is our vote. Okay. Is that good enough, Steve?
Yep.
All right. Okay, so item 10, TRNR rate adjustment, discussion of possible action. Now, this is a rate adjustment for pickup, right?
Yes.
But why are we discussing this? We're not involved in this part. Do we need to be involved in this part, Steve?
Typically, you haven't been, but I don't know if that's just something that has gone on internally, or whether Brent is moving forward with this as provided for in the agreement. Some agreements.
This is a 2.9% increase on what we have been paying them.
Residential, 2.3 for commercial.
No, this is not what we pay them. Okay, this is what he's charging his customers.
Then I thought we didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure I get this right. So it's what he's charging his customers for simply picking up the stuff and taking it to the dump, right? And then we're charged by the transfer station at LA County.
We're charged at the
transfer station. This is an increase in the fee to everybody, and then we get a percentage. I mean, ours goes up, our franchise fee goes up a little bit because we get 10% of whatever they collect.
Yeah, and I think that's when I was going back through the files on this, because I agree with you, President Zuber. I hadn't seen this come to the board before, and so I went back through my file, and I hadn't seen any agenda item for this before. Not that it shouldn't be agendized. I think it's fine, but I didn't have it in my file. I'm not sure it's necessarily any action that the board needs to take.
I don't think the board has any say, right, Steve? Is that in the contract that we have a say over this? Like, we could say no, or I don't think so.
No, some agencies do have that in the contract, and that would require even for the agency to approve it. But your arrangement is you basically took over the contract that was with the County of San Bernardino, and that does require CRNR to advise you by April 1 of each year of what the rate increase will be. There isn't necessarily any action that you need to
take. I see. Okay.
But it does require that to notify you, and then that increase would take effect July 1.
Okay.
It's like that's what
you're doing.
And
I'm sure everybody got a copy of Hank Hallmark's letter where he's talking about they're not doing the recycle along with the trash, that they're putting it all in one place type of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it personally, but because there's tons of pages on all these rates and what goes on, but is that anything that we want to say, at least, because he did write a letter to us?
CRNR was in communication with me, letting me know that there was not going to be any recycling done because they don't want to expose people to the recycling stuff while this virus is going on. So the things that are in your recycle bin have to be hand sorted, and they don't want to expose the employees hand sorting that. So everything's just going to the landfill.
I read Hank's letter, Chuck. And I think there is this basic confusion with solid waste on where the CSD makes their money on it, what CNR's real role is in this thing. And they charge their customers, directly just for the pickup. So the fact that they've been saving us a lot of money by doing the recycling, right? Because that doesn't work to the, we don't get charged for the weight of that recycling. Because CRNR takes all that recycling back to their plant. They don't give it to the county landfill. So then we don't get charged for that.
Right.
But since they are putting it in there now, we are getting charged for that. So I don't know. I haven't had a discussion with Brent. Hey, when are you guys going to stop doing this? Can you take other precautions at your place? I think that discussion, it does impact our income. I don't know by how much, but it could be, somewhat significant.
Yeah, it's going to cost us a little bit more. That's all I'm, putting out there. Because that's going to increase the weight, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure. I will call Brent this later on. I'll call him tomorrow, and I'll ask him about this and try to have something for the board next month. Okay.
I mean, it doesn't sound like
I always thought this was a temporary thing, but I don't know how to do it.
Hey guys, I'm sorry I'm fighting cats. I have to go put one away. I'll be right back.
All right.
Oh, well. But the reality is, if we thought it was, Steve, if we thought it was excessive or whatever, we can't tell them not to do it other than to say, we'll look at a new contract or something.
No.
Well, we're in uncharted waters here, too, with this pandemic, right?
Well, of course.
Well,
what I'm saying is there a level as far as how much they can increase it each April?
Yeah, and so what the contract says is they could base it on CPI increases. So that's why you have all the documents, the supporting documents in there. It shows how it calculated the 2.9 and the 2.3. If the board felt that he wasn't in compliance with the agreement, that there was something exorbitant in there, that the increase was incorrect, then the board could say, well, you're in breach of the contract. But he can only go to CPI. There is contractual mechanisms built into the contract that would allow him to seek extraordinary increases if there was unforeseen circumstances, but he's not alleging that. He's just saying that this is your typical annual CPI increase, and this is how I calculated it. And
okay.
The court felt that it was exorbitant or not correct or in breach of the agreement, then that would be something we could talk about.
Well, I think, though, there is this issue on the cost side. Since they're not doing recycling, all that's going to the landfill. So the CSE's costs are going significantly up because they stopped recycling. So the question is, I think I have for this, and I chucked into that, is that is there anything in the agreement about recycling or anything like, because I think it is significant. You know, does that breach the agreement if he suddenly is not doing recycling and now it's going into the landfill?
Well, that's a good question. I can take a look at the agreement for that. I had not seen Mr. Hallmark's letter. So,
he's on the other side. He's on the increase side. This frequently gets mixed up. I'm talking about something different, just purely on the recycling on our top.
Okay.
So, before you do that, let me talk to Brent.
Okay.
Because I always felt that this was temporary. He had to do what he had to do, you know, the pandemic. And, you know, he may have plans. Like, hey, next month I'm gonna go back to recycling or whatever it is. So let me talk to him first.
Okay.
And Steve, where Hank was coming from is, I'm being charged for recycle and trash. Now they're combining it on one, but where's the extra labor savings and all that stuff go? The CR&R, or does it go back to the people in the community that are, you know, paying that monthly fee and now they're not getting the service? And CR&R,
I mean, Hank's assumption is that somehow CR&R is like storing and making all kinds of money.
Yeah, that they're making money.
Recycling. I don't know how Hank would assume that. There's a lot to running the business, including all the special stuff that Brent had to do with CR&R because of this pandemic. The recycling, I don't know. Let me talk to him about it. I don't believe that suddenly has been going to be a windfall for CR&R. And that should be kicked back to the CSD. I don't really see that.
I think that's a good idea, President Zubrat, that have that conversation with Brent. And then if there's anything after that conversation that requires me to do some research on the contract, we can bring that back to the board.
Okay.
Yeah, and CR&R does a lot for this community in the sense of putting additional barrels out and whatever during the snow and that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, we need to work with them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, all right. That takes care of that. Let me look here for public comments. I don't want to forget. I'll get the last one. Okay, anything? I hope it's all working. Okay. One second, while I check. chat with somebody here in 1 second. Item 11, budget preparation update, discussion of possible action. Okay, Chuck, you want to go?
Well, we haven't really finished yet our final. I did find one thing, Lori, though. Item number 5030.1, LAFCO appropriations.
Apportionment, yeah.
Apportionment? Yeah. We got a letter, which you forwarded to me, which shows that Lakewood Senior Service for the our allocation is 790.16. So we need to correct that $400 to 790.
Okay.
And the other stuff, Wes and I haven't had a chance to go line by line through the finalized. This right here was what Lori, Wes, and I had done.
It's pretty close, though.
Oh, yeah, it's very close. That's why we wanted to,
yeah,
you know, give it to the board to start looking at. But all we really need is one more meeting to go through it, and then we could sign off on it for the board, or the board can vote on it now. Either one.
Don't we need to have time for a public notice on this one?
Well, yeah, it does require a public hearing.
Okay.
So we have to have the public hearing in June.
Yeah, I say we could set up the time frame for the public hearing. We can do it at the next meeting, right, Steve?
Sure.
Yeah.
And if that's the direction of the board, then we would get the notice out. It would need to be published once a week for 2 weeks prior to the public hearing.
And we do that as a special meeting?
Why?
Because I don't know what else is going to come up on the agenda next month. It might be longer with everything kind of going on right now. And so it seems like special meetings are pretty simple right now because we are dialing in from home and wouldn't be that much in a position to just do it as a special meeting just in case we got a lot of stuff on the June agenda for our regular meeting.
Well,
just a thought. I'm not married to any idea.
Yeah, I'm like, it's hard. It's hard to find the time. It you know, even though it's easy for us to do here, it's tough for me. It was a struggle. We had a couple of special meetings and it really soaked a lot of my time. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd rather just do it in June if we can.
Okay. Steve, when we do the public notice for, you know, the 2 weeks before, whatever, that we publish, is it public, the actual budget published, or is it just simply the board on this, you know, next meeting or whatever will be voting on the final budget?
It's just, you don't need to publish the entirety of the budget.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that will obviously need to be included in the board meeting agenda materials.
Right.
The notice that gets published is just a couple paragraphs indicating that the board will be holding a public hearing.
And that has to be 2 weeks before the public hearing?
Correct. Once a week for 2 weeks.
Okay, so if Lori started it this week, then we're looking at the 13th and the 20th, somewhere around the 20th of May would be the final time period, Laura?
That'd
be the 2 weeks?
I think it goes the 19th and the 26th is the cutoff for the Mountaineer.
Yeah, okay.
And Steve, is there been any changes in this yet? Do we always have to publish it in the paper that costs $100 a throw every time? Or yet, or have we gone into the modern age yet to put it on the website?
We have piped into the modern age yet. But, you know, I think that, you know, one of the things that has arisen out of this, the coronavirus situation, has been the how much work can get done through teleconference and webinars and Zoom meetings. And I would certainly expect that there's going to be a movement after we're done with all of this that's going to modernize a lot of things and make things significantly more electronic based. And that would be an area that you could see. I foresee some changes there as well.
Even if DMV is accepting pink slips that you just upload. When you buy a vehicle, they're doing everything remote. Amazing.
Okay. Steve, I do have a question. The Mountaineer Progress isn't publishing an actual paper, correct, currently. They're doing everything online. Now, how does that affect the
numbers? Did they just recently change that one so that they no longer do that?
Yeah, it was because of the virus. They stopped printing the actual newspaper.
That's a really good question.
And so, yeah, everything they've got is online. Does it need to be in a physical paper? Can it be online, or do I need to switch that?
Let me take a look at my book while you can get on. And I guess that's one of the benefits doing this. If I could take a look at that concept.
Can you look under pandemic? Where do you find it?
You know, I would look under the CSC Act and see if that's what the language is as far as the posting of the notice. So, go ahead and talk amongst yourself. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay, no problem. So, is there any questions on the budget? Pretty good right now. We got a couple of changes to make, Chuck, but not anything drastic. Is there any questions to the board on any of the budget items?
No.
Or has anybody even really looked at it at all?
I looked at it. I don't have any questions, though.
Okay. Okay.
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
The biggest thing to be aware of is we budgeted with less revenue from the sports league, we're trying to guess when this stuff is going to end. We also have questions on our park and rec coordinator. If we're not getting revenue in from the sports league, can we actually afford, a parks and rec coordinator at this time? Yeah. The obvious thing is if the pandemic leaves and we're all back to work and all that stuff, we can always update the budget. But for right now, we've gone down quite a bit in the total revenue, and, the expenses, are somewhere out there, that we've looked at. So we're not looking at the the money that we were before, and one of the questions I'll have for Steve is, what happens, the county and state's not getting a lot of tax money right now. With people out of work, the sales tax and all that, although we don't get the sales tax, but is that going to affect us as a CSB as far as what the state or county is throwing our way as far as the tax revenue?
I don't think so, John. I don't think because property values would really have to fall, so there has to be less tax revenue there. I'm not seeing that. I wouldn't expect that.
Okay, it's just something that got into my brain as far as that. Something that we have to be aware of. But anyway, the budget that Wes and I and Lori had done, you can take a look at the revenue aspect of it. You can see where the sports league is down, the rental of the buildings is down, as far as what we're projecting. And like I said earlier, if the pandemic stops and we start being able to rent places and we can do the sports league and all that, we can always adjust the budget
Yeah.
But for right now, those areas are low.
Yeah, we're just trying not to count on. You know, I don't know what else. We just can't count on.
Well, I'm a big supporter, obviously, of the whole Parks and Rec thing.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
I certainly don't see any reason why we should be pursuing someone to fill that position right now.
Right.
I'd be really interested to hear what you have to say on this. But to me, maybe it'll open up for a month or two this summer, but my personal belief is this is all going to come back in the fall when it gets cold again. Like, we're in this for another year, I believe. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I don't think it's going to look like softball games and that kind of close contact. I think our Parks and Rec is going to be disbanding for a little while.
It's going to be, yeah, curtailed. What do you think, Natalie?
Oh, I agree. I'm not for looking to hire someone at this point. I think we still need to give it time. I mean, things are changing so fast that, you know, the future might look different in June. So at this point right now, you know, I don't have any plans for starting anything up. I've already kind of, you know,
should we cut that revenue down even more? I mean, we have it at 10 grand. I don't know.
I don't think we're going to get any revenue the rest of this fiscal year.
So, Chuck, I think we ought to knock that thing down to zero.
What do you think, Natalie?
I'm hoping that we could do something in the fall. I mean, I think that the minute that we're allowed to do something, people will jump on it and want to do it. Everybody wants to do it. You know, from the perspective, a lot of people have the perspective like something like baseball or something outside is not so dangerous. So I think, you know, I may not agree with that. Someone may not agree with that. But I think people, you know, will, if given the opportunity, sign back up and do something because people want to be outside and they want to be kind of back to normal life.
You want to leave it at 10? Should we leave it at 10 for the expected revenue? Should I cut it down?
I'm going to leave it at 10 at this moment in time.
Do you want to
leave it at 10? I'm sorry, say that again, Natalie. I'm sorry. You cut out for a second.
It's just asking if Chuck just said he wanted to leave it at 10. Is that what you said, Chuck?
Yeah, and, you know, that covers this a little bit, but I also remember when we first established this position, one of the criteria that Leo put out there was that the revenue of the sports league had to cover Annika's salary. You know, on that, we had that salary at $14,000. So those are two areas that are just are unknowns right now. I think we need to keep both of them in, the 10 and the 14, just until we see where we're going with this stuff and what the state is going to mandate.
Hey, Wes, I noticed that Leo's mic is muted again. He wants to say anything about this.
And rightfully so.
I would like to play conservatively.
I don't know how that happens. Every now and then it does that. Sorry about that, Leo.
So how would you like to leave it, Michelle?
Well, I don't know in terms of the specific figures. I would defer that to you or Natalie my just general thing is to play it conservatively so that we're not, none of us can predict any of this. And my instinct say that at best, maybe we could get one season out, like Natalie was saying. Stuff opens up, people are going to be like, get me out of my house. I want stuff to do, especially if it's summer. Maybe people will have time. But if it's, and that could be great. But at the same time, they could go for 2 months and then all of a sudden get shut down. So I just want to make sure whatever's in the budget is not something that we are relying on because it's so clearly something nobody can predict. But I definitely want us to stay fiscally, or in a case fiscally where, like Natalie said, if we do have a window, let's open it. Let's get people out.
Yeah.
But could we manage that without a director? I don't see, because we don't have a director. If Monica was still here, this would be a different discussion. But with no director currently in place, I don't see any wisdom in hiring one because there's nothing predictable. And like you said, the income that's got to pay for their salary.
Yeah.
I would say the current budget has 10,000 revenue for the sports league and 14,000 expense for the coordinator. So if you just leave them in there, they're not really going to affect your bottom line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll just leave it. We'll leave it for
them. I agree.
Like you mentioned, we can always go back and revisit that.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so there's no action to take on this, just that we're gonna get the hearing going and do this in June.
Yeah, with respect to the hearing,
the action is the paper, isn't it? The notification.
Yeah. So the law says is it has to be a newspaper of general circulation within the district. So. It doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, a paper distribution. So I would still submit it to the Mountaineer, but I was incorrect on one thing. It does still need to go out 2 weeks in advance, but only one time. That's why.
Okay.
Oh, so, only one time?
Okay, good. Only one time.
Okay, so if I do it the 19th.
The 19th, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I'll save it for mine. That's good. Okay. Okay, item 12. Any public comments on the budget? I'll give it just a couple minutes here. Just in case, some public comments on that. Okay, don't see anything. Okay, item 12, Veterans Park Project, discussion of possible action.
Okay, a couple meetings ago, Eagle Scouts, now I lost my word. Anyway, a gentleman who is looking to become an Eagle Scout presented a project for the Veterans Park that would include bricking up some of the walkways with the memorial bricks and all the things. The board wanted approval from the Veterans Committee before they even looked at it. I got the approval letter. But I have not had a chance, I didn't have a chance to put it online because I got it so late. But I do have the approval letter for the board to look at. Grayson, and I hope I don't mess up his name, Rushworth, should be on the line to do any questions that you would have about the project. I did include,
what it's supposed to look like.
That's
what?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got it today. And I think it was, if that's my input, I would support it if said to me. I think it's a better.
As long as he,
go ahead, Chuck.
As long as I agree, as long as the veterans support it and have seen the drawing, so to speak, and they're okay with that.
I have one question. Is there curbing? I don't know if the young man's on the phone here or on Zoom with us. Is there curbing along the bricks? I was looking at it. It looks like just the bricks go to the grass. Is there curbing along that, or is it just, where's it?
I don't see them online.
It doesn't show curbing on there, and currently the walkways just go up to the grass. So.
Right. But the bricks are the new pathway, right?
Right, right.
So my question is there going to be, you got the end of the brick going into the grass, is there going to be a little strip of curbing, or is the bricks just going to go into the grass? It looks like it's going to go into the grass.
Yeah, I don't know. I had asked that he be online, but maybe something happened.
That was the one question I have after I reviewed it the last time.
So is that,
Neil, is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem. It's just some more detail would be nice on there, but this guy's going to Eagle Scout. I'm good with it.
Okay.
My barometer is the veterans, because there was something that we all thought was great a year ago and the veterans didn't want for a reason that had never occurred to me. I pretty much defer to how do the veterans feel about this. I know we pay for it, but it's their park, and I'd like their vision to be honored there.
Yes,
agree.
Well, we're not paying for this, are we, Lori?
No, the Eagle Scout raises money for the project.
Yeah, yeah, there's a motivation.
Right. Don't be doing that to me, Michelle.
I knew we weren't paying for it. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Can
I have a motion to approve the Veterans Park project?
So moved.
So moved.
Second it.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Motion carries. Item 13, community building concrete, discussion and possible action.
Okay, during the last winter, the main concrete stairs into the community building have started to break up. In addition, we've all seen the steps to the emergency exit on the east side.
East.
And they're in very bad condition. I contacted some concrete companies. I got two quotes. Roughly doing the same work. One is for $3,800, one was for $4,800. The one coming from $4,800 is a gentleman who works up here quite a bit, and he was very specific on what materials he'd use in order to help it stand up against the weather. The first one was not, so.
Well, my comment is until we fix the rain gutters and get the parking lot drained, it's going to beat up that concrete over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The parking lot draining, how does that have anything to do with those stairs? I know, Lori.
Because since there isn't rain gutters on there, and the rain gutters need to drain off into the parking lot, which would cause a big ice sheet, so we need to drain that off under the parking lot out to the highway.
On the side stairs, but the main stairs do need to have something done with them before somebody trips and falls.
The main stairs have had a problem for far more than 1 year. The farmer's market brought this concern to us at least 2 years ago.
Oh,
I guess more than that, that they were having to rope off the east set of steps out of the main entrance because they were essentially a liability. Anyway, I absolutely support getting those stairs fixed.
I don't want it to be wrecked after the work we do. So, is the stuff coming off the roof right there and banging on the set, you know, eroding the set? Because that's usually what happens.
Are we talking about the front of the building?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the emergency exit on the east side.
The east side, there's no doubt about it.
That's really not an emergency. Everyone uses.
But I could see where the rain would be falling off onto those. You know, aren't the steps under the overhead or not? They're open to the...
They're open.
They're open.
Okay.
But that's a good point, Wes made. Can you look into that, Lori, to see the impact of those gutters or that? I haven't even looked up. I don't even know what's there.
Yeah, as I say, that's still a project that's on my list, is I've got to get contractors to come out and quote that. Currently, I'm having a lot of difficulty getting contractors to come out here to even look at it to quote. So it's still on my list. It's still something I'm working on, but I'm having some issues.
Okay. All right. We really need this. How are you trying to contact these contractors? Where are you just looking them up online, or how are you trying to do this?
Well, I'm looking them up online. I'm using the list from the hardware store, and I'm contacting them by phone. I'm not sending out emails or anything. I'm contacting them by phone. I've only had one contractor come out to look at the project, and they still haven't submitted a bid, and it's been over 10 days or so since they were out.
Okay, and we're talking about the parking lot drain and gutters, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody.
Yeah, I was just searching my brain too. I could talk to Johnny about it, see if he knows somebody.
Yeah.
Lori, is this something in the sense of a patch job, not fixing the whole thing, but just patching? Because the last time I was there, I noticed a lot of chipped stuff on the stairs and that type of thing. Is that something for just a quick fix until we do the gutters and actually tear the thing down and rebuild it?
Okay.
We could add a little of that?
The quote was to replace those east side stairs and to patch the front stairs.
Exactly. And I'm not sure if that's...
And that's 38 to 48?
38 to 48.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what patch means either, because nowadays there is really good epoxy stuff that does a great job. So I think the question is it a temporary thing or is it permanent, Lori?
Well,
for the front steps, are they saying, hey, this is good for 15 years, or are they saying this should hold you for a year?
No, both the concrete guys will not put a guarantee on the front steps because the patching is not...
not asking for a guarantee. Like, what is their opinion? They just say, I don't know, or what?
They are saying that because of the weather up here, they can't guarantee the work will last. That's all I got.
And that's because they're patching it, not replacing it, right?
Correct.
I'd like to see two things. I'd like to save this item until our next meeting. And at the next meeting, I'd like to see a quote for what if they actually, I just to understand the cost of it. What if they replace those front steps?
Yeah, I agree.
That they would guarantee. I'd like to hear, will they warranty their work to any number of years? And then also what Leo was saying about the cost, looking at the gutters and the cost of that, so that if we do need to patch it, we can at least increase our own chances of preserving, the repairs for as long as possible.
Right.
I don't want to put those pieces of information and we can make a better decision.
Okay, because, they will warranty the steps that they re-pour.
How long will they warranty those for?
Oh.
So, just so everybody knows, concrete cracks and concrete will chip and bubble in the cold weather. I've had driveways 2 years later that all popped. I just need a, I'd be really surprised on what the warranty's going to be.
Yeah, I don't remember from the conversation. They did say that the east step is ice damage, not from water falling from the roof. Water falling from the roof now isn't helping it, but the original damage was from ice and freezing.
Yeah, that's when the water penetrates the concrete, freezes, and it pops.
That's exactly what they told me.
That's exactly what happens, and that's just the life of concrete up in the altitudes. Nobody's going to warranty that for. They'll warranty it for the summer, but not for the winter.
Is there some other material that we could be using?
To Wes's point, some epoxy, but then you got to watch out for slipping too.
Yeah.
I thought of maybe getting a contractor out here to quote building wood steps instead of the concrete, which would be easier to fix.
You could use cracks or something, right?
Yeah,
That's really nice.
Well, maybe those are ideas to look into as well.
Yeah, that's something that's...
That track stuff is expensive, but it looks the same 15 years later.
Yeah, look at the DCB, that's a bank.
At the what?
Yeah.
DCB Bank.
Okay.
The bank.
Okay.
At the bank.
Okay, I'll look at...
The other thing, Lori, that I saw is one of the quotes from... who is it? The Eddings Concrete?
Yeah.
Said not responsible for permits. Do we need permits on something like this?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need a permit to change it.
So they give you a quote, but they say you guys handle the permits and the whole bit. That's just something to be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Well, the other thing on the probably the emergency exit, that probably if you do pull a permit, they'll probably want ADA compliant too.
No, I checked with San Bernardino County And they finally got back to me a couple weeks ago, and they said, just replacing those steps, we don't need to make them ADA compliant because we have the ramp on the other side.
Okay.
Yeah. I was surprised.
That's interesting.
Yeah, if you keep the ramp, got to keep the ramp, you know.
Yeah, by the bathroom. Sure.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. That would be good to keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. But we definitely need a quote. We need a quote for those rain gutters and that drain on the parking lot because that. I mean, we could decide if we get all these quotes, and maybe we don't have room for both, or maybe we do, but. Well, we got to include that because
it is a
scary place in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll start burning up the phone lines again, but some of these guys aren't coming out to see people face to face because of what's going on with the pandemic. So.
Construction.
And you have to start to change because our state guidelines are getting. Relaxed a little bit on Friday, as a Friday, right?
That's item 14.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
Yeah, they are. They're starting to get relaxed. Okay. All right. Any more on that? Any public comments? I'll look for that. Okay. Moving on here. Item 14, CSD building and parks opening, discussion of possible action.
Okay.
So we got the skate park and we have the regular parks. Currently, they're closed. And we've discussed before that we really can't enforce anything that happens at those parks. But I guess the question is, should we open these with some guidelines? Should we just open them without any guidelines?
I get a daily update from the county of San Bernardino, and basically they're holding off on making any comments until the governor makes his decision on Thursday, exactly what's going to be open. So they're not even presuming to make anything.
I think we need to give it a week or two. We need to see what the governor does and then what the county does. Because our county, when I went on and looked at the statewide list of counties for when restrictions would lift, there were all sorts of counties that were, I mean, I looked at this, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, there were all sorts of counties that were starting to open up. And our San Bernardino County still said simply until rescinded. There was no date. There was nothing. So, to me, I think this is going to be one of those special meeting things that
I think it's whatever we want to do. It's not, I don't necessarily think that it's, that San Bernardino or any one county has the best look at this. I really think, you know, opening a skate park and a park is not a big deal as long as people wear masks and practice social distancing. They're probably not going to do that so much at the skate park, but I also think there are zero danger for the kids. So, I mean, the numbers are showing that. And San Bernardino County, I will say, has the lowest number of any of the counties in California for everything, for fatalities, for cases, has the most open beds, for everything. So why would we keep the parks closed other than we're just following San Bernardino for no reason other than we think they might know more than us? I don't think they do.
Well, we're following San Bernardino and the governor, because the governor hasn't released any of this stuff either.
Yeah, this is Tuesday. He's not relaxing anything until Friday.
Yeah.
I feel like we're following it because we're erring on the side of caution, and there's nobody that can say definitively whether the reason we have fewer cases is because we erred on the side of caution. So, I've always been a conservative lead and would err on the side of caution. I don't think we should open anything or change anything tonight. If we want to meet next week when the governor has changed things as of Friday, I don't want to be a trailblazer in this area. Because the reality is our community members are going to do what they want to do. We have no enforcement. They all know that. If they want to go to the skate parks, they're going to go.
Yeah.
Us putting our stamp of approval on it is an entirely different Well, even though we have a power act. I mean, it's...
We don't have any enforcement, but...
Right, enforcement, right.
Yeah.
It was, and things, though, like with guidelines, like Wes had mentioned originally, like, you know, signs posted that you need to wear your mask, you need to practice social distancing, things like that. But, I mean, we're, at this point, we're allowed to go lots of places with our masks on at a distance, and I mean... Yeah. The park, you know, I mean, even the country club, like, you can go to the country club now, but, and you can touch the swings, but you can't play on the playground, but you can sit on the swing. Swinging is okay. So, I mean, you know, that is posted on their gate when you come in, and it's like, well, can we formulate our own guidelines and just let
them... That doesn't make any sense to me why people would be on the swings and not the playground. It's all the same stuff.
Under the same thing, but I think it has maybe something to do with some of the language that's passed down by the governor or something like that. I'm not sure. We'll look at the country club on the gate. That's what it says there, that you can use the swing.
I say the governor has not opened playgrounds. Very specifically said he's not opening playgrounds. In addition, if you post guidelines, do you know how many signs got taken down from the skate park that it was closed before some of them remained open? It was like 30 or 40 signs, and we were out there every single day replacing signs. I don't think the signs are going to help.
No. No, what's our liability if we say as a CFD we're open them? What's our liability?
Well, I mean, you know, there's you would have liability potentially if someone got sick as a result of being exposed at one of your facilities that you had open. Of course, you would have a potential liability. So, you know, at that point, then it would be an SBRMA issue. They would handle, you know, the insurance on it, and the insurance company would provide the defense. But, yeah, there of course, is exposure to liability, as is if anyone got injured at the skate park or something like that.
Right.
Or if any of your personal events, if someone got injured. So,
I mean, we always have liability. We always have liability. I mean, if we didn't want any liability, we just wouldn't have the parks at all. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true in terms of injuries, but that's not true in terms of infection. And anyway, I personally don't support any changes in opening anything right now. In a week, I don't know. But there's nothing significant that's changed since the last time we discussed this.
I think it has, and I don't agree that it's because of the things that we've done that we have the lowest number of cases. Remember that this is done everywhere. I think it has everything to do with the sparseness of the community. We've seen this over and over and over again. In really crowded places, that's where you see the numbers. Not only that, but keep in mind that almost half of the fatalities are in nursing homes. It's not going to happen at the skate park.
There are no two people I know that agree on everything about this virus. I do not think we are all going to agree. I think we just have our opinions and our beliefs about how things are going to go, as everybody does. And I don't.
So we're just going to follow somebody else. Meanwhile, the kids can't play in the skate park.
No, we all, our five board members, have our own intelligent conclusions about this virus, and we've chosen to live our lives in certain ways to align with that, and we all have our own personal beliefs.
Isn't the part there to use? Isn't the
yes, but I don't want the liability.
I don't think there's any increased liability that you would. Come on. I mean, it's always safe to say we're never going to take a risk. We're only going to follow somebody else.
What are we taking?
The liability. But the liability is still the same,
The liability is down. People are going to that park no matter what we do.
If the governor says, let's open this thing tomorrow, and we open it up, we have the same liability.
Steve, how does the insurance work if We opened it up against the governor and the county's recommendations. Is the insurance going to drop us, do you think? What's the liability there?
Well, that might be worth a call to Dennis Timoney over at SDRMA. It's a good question. Is if you were to do something that, you know, that would be against the governor's orders. I think the county doesn't necessarily have any jurisdiction because this is,
right,
this is property that's owned by the district. But certainly the, you know, what the governor's orders are important. For instance, we're operating this very meeting based upon the governor's orders. So I think following those orders is important. I think whatever decision the board makes as far as reopening it, I would suggest that at least there be some support in the record for the reasons that you are opening it up with conditions. You are allowing farmers market and the co-op to have activities on the district property, and of course there's still liability associated with that, even with all of the safety conditions that you've imposed there. So I think as long as there is some sort of justification in the record as to why you are imposing, why you're allowing certain things to happen under certain conditions, and there's support for that, then I think that would be helpful. And you're in compliance with the governor's order. I know, for instance, with farmers market, that was specifically exempted. I do believe that there will be shortly some additional exemptions for park facilities. That my understanding is that part of his four park plan that's coming up. You know, I think this is a very difficult issue with zero precedent, and you're struggling with something that there really is no map to follow. The best I could say is, you know, whatever decisions you make, make sure that it's justified based upon the record and that that is set forth in the analysis, in your conversation.
Yeah.
Right. I want to make one distinction I appreciate what you just said, Steve. One distinction between the farmers market and the co-op is that both of those organizations have someone who is accountable for them. The state park is not. It is us. There is no one to go to when kids don't follow the rules. And I'll tell you, from the first day that state park opened up, our community has not followed the rules. It says very clearly there that those little boards with the handles, I don't remember what they're called, they're not skateboards, they're the
scooters,
are not allowed there. There have been scooters there from day one, and nobody has ever enforced that.
The
rules are not absurd. I'm concerned about that because there is nobody in charge of it. There's nobody accountable for it. I have seen more things take place at that skate park for kids in this town that are offensive than anywhere else in this town. Anywhere.
Well, that's a different
location. There's lots of things, and there's nobody monitoring it.
But it's not, but so what? It's not like we don't know anything about this virus like we did, and I just disagree with that we don't know anything about this virus.
But people believe different things about this virus. Our medical professionals say different things than the head of our country, say different things than the WTO. There's no unanimous agreement on this virus.
But it doesn't have to be. You just gotta look at the numbers.
Yeah, but it depends on who puts out the numbers, Wes. This is just like this is political.
No.
This shouldn't be political in our town.
You have almost a 0% chance of having any complications from kids that are younger than 25 years old at the skate park.
Right. That is absolutely not the scientific evidence I have seen. I have seen the kids get infected. I've seen the opposite of you.
I'm not saying they don't get infected. I'm saying that they do get infected, they just don't have any problems with it.
Right. They don't have any problems with it, but they pass it on to the members of their
But those people that have problems with it, they can remain isolated. We can't keep the skate park closed forever. We can't shut down everybody's life. We just made a payment on the skate park.
Totally got it. We disagree. Let's just take this to a vote because we're the only two people talking about this. And we just disagree. And that's okay.
Yeah. Well, I would like to see the skate park and the park open. I would. Because I just think it's better to be outside and better to be using this stuff, and it's there to be used.
I agree, but we've got a national forest in our backyard, and I don't want to do anything until our governor. I have no interest in the liability until at least the governor is supporting it.
Okay. So would you be for it if the governor comes out and says, I'm going to open the parks in some way by on Friday?
We'll talk about that after it happens. Right now, tonight, no, I'm not. So move on for me. Everybody's totally clear on how I feel about this.
What were you going to say, Natalie?
I was going to say with Wes on this, and I'm starting to just see the fact that we are allowed to go many places with precautions put in place, and I think that if we were to, you know, put up guidelines, I understand, you know, Lori's perspective, and I just feel like if we come for open, if not, but Natalie, you're breaking up really bad. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
Oh, well, can you hear me now?
I can. Okay, I'm just basically saying that I'm with Wes on this, and I feel that at this point we are allowed to go and intermingle in a lot of places that we have, you know, risked at, and we have to wear masks like that, and I would be supportive of what Wes said with the caveat that we put guidelines on, you know, post guidelines that says that you need to wear masks, you need to maintain your distance, I would vote with Beth on this.
Okay, I'm one of the highest risk, I guess, of this whole board. I don't believe it. You know, I think fresh air is wonderful and the whole bit. But I also don't want to go against the governor at this moment in time as a government entity, as a CSD. I would rather wait for Gavin, what he has to say on Thursday, and if he opens up some with guidelines, whatever it may be, then I would say have a quick special meeting, and then we would open it up per the governor's stuff. Now, do I personally think that people should still be in their homes for another month or no? No, I don't. But as a CSD member, I would rather wait for the governor to put his stamp on it before we okay it. So, that's it.
Wait, Chuck just got muted. You just got muted.
Purely accidental.
Well, I understand that, Wes. Okay. I'm splitting the baby, Wes. I agree with you, but I want to wait for the governor. Now, if the governor says it on Friday, let's have a special meeting and open it up.
All right, what do you think, Leo?
For the record, Wes, I'm right where Chuck is, by the way, Wes. If the governor takes a stance on this, let's have a special meeting.
Okay.
Wes, what Natalie has said, as far as having the guidance and the restrictions and posts, I deal with customers every day. And everybody's very respectful and good to go. They have all their masks. It's part of the normal process now.
I do like what they're doing in Sweden, for example. On the enforcement, and that what they do is, let's say a bar or a restaurant is not complying with the rules, they will just shut it down for a day. There's no fine or anything. They just shut it down for a day.
Yeah.
And they had it for that everybody gets the flu. But I'm with you. Let's just wait and see what Gavin says. And then if it's, I think it's important, then we'll call up a special meeting and go over it then.
And as the person who struck out most strongly against this, please do, because I am actually entirely on board with what Natalie, Chuck, and everyone has said. I'm outside every day.
Yeah.
I just don't want to take on the liability of any of it. And there's so much fear out there right now that liability makes me scared. We're volunteers. It's not.
I'd say, in addition, you know, the kids at the skate park aren't following the rules now. I'm not really sure why putting up guidelines is going to help, but there you go. That's my take.
But logically, they're just not part of the danger group. I mean
they still have to go home.
No matter what you say, it's that the median age for fatalities is 80 years old. I mean, that's a fact. It's just a danger group. So,
do we need a vote on this tonight, or?
No. Let's just wait. Okay. So, no action on this. Item 15, future board meetings. That's June 2nd, 2020. Is that all right? I didn't look it up yet.
Yeah, that's right. June 2nd.
Yeah, that's right.
Are we doing Zoom, or are we opening up the center?
To be determined.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, to be determined. Maybe we want this thing.
Wes, thank you for the time it's taken you to get this all set up.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure, yeah, no problem.
And I would like to recommend that we have a capital expense purchase. I think we should all have chairs like Leo.
I know,
it's about to be
asleep
by now. Yeah.
And then we all need copies of Steve's certificates for our walls.
Yeah.
I like Steve's sort of dark, shadowy.
Yeah, I know.
As
for the attorney.
Yeah.
Dark shadow.
Lurking over. Yeah, I think we need to get Natalie a clear film for her camera. Yeah.
Oh, she's muted, by the way, right now, Wes.
Oh, man.
We can't hear her. Okay, so for a future board meeting, is that what we're on right now?
Yeah.
June 2nd.
The two things I'm thinking of from tonight is that we need to discuss items 13 and 14 again. Concrete and facilities being open.
Yeah.
And then the budget, potentially, if we don't have a meeting before then.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. That sounds fine. Okay.
So Larry is going to check with the getting the paperwork to LA and San Bernardino County for the tax.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got to work with you on that directly, Lori. It's a big procedure.
Okay.
Yeah, I just did it last year because I don't know, I'm in the groove, but I really should hand this off to the GM.
Yeah.
Any other director? Anybody have any director comments?
No. I recommend that no cats are allowed in the meeting.
Right, I had to lock one up.
And let's get to phase three, I'd say.
There you go.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, let me check here really quick, see if there's any public comments. I don't see anything, so great meeting. I really appreciate it. Meeting adjourned.